Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news. It is episode 42 of our 2022 season, and for once, I actually remembered to say the episode number. It is US week, but unfortunately, Mr. Gloomy Satterly, my normal sidekick, is somewhere in Miami where he doesn't have service, so instead we have the Discount American, Mr. Jordan Groves.
Hi. I'm not in Miami.
You're not in Miami. I think that's a good thing.
It pretty much. I'm what Formula One should be and not in Miami.
Oh. Dear goodness, F1, what were you thinking? They were thinking money. That's the answer.
Money!
But money.
Lots of money.
Yes. Have you, since we're on this subject, have you seen the prices for what Vegas is going to be like?
I don't think I can comprehend numbers that would be that. Like, I saw what the Miami renewal tickets were, and I was like, that's expensive. But apparently, no.
There may or may not be a comma in the price.
It's just,
yeah.
It's just why, like,
yeah, you know, F1. They like to have this air of exclusivity in anything that they do. Yeah, I know. And more about that later.
Oh yes.
I should have saved that for a transition point. Oh well.
Well, I mean, considering we're talking about Formula One, it does make sense for us to, you know, hype something up and then, you know, wait a couple of hours and then deal with the rest of it.
I got to be a couple later. Hours for us, at least.
Well, we'll be quicker than an FIA steward's decision, but anyway.
Well, it's definitely be quicker than a NASCAR steward's decision.
Ugh. I ain't touching that.
Yeah, no.
I've had enough flack on Twitter for the last few days. I ain't dealing with that again.
Yeah, no. I'm not touching that either.
Formula One's one thing. I'll happily annoy F1 Twitter all day, but nah. I ain't touching NASCAR Twitter.
Yep. NASCAR Twitter is a scary place. Something about scum, villainy, you know the quote.
Something Alec-Guinness-y.
Yeah, something with an Alec Guinness accent. You know the quote. Anyway, so we do have a pretty full show this evening. So do you feel the need to talk about rugby or vacations or anything like that? It's normal how these shows start.
No, I think I'm good. How about that egg ball, huh? I don't know, seeing it's just the US
show.
If
we're going to talk about egg ball, I still can't believe the Stewart's one.
I mean, I'm just happy that the Colts beat the Jaguars. So I, you know,
that's like I'm
a pretty good
glad...
win streak actually. So
that's like saying I'm just glad that Alex Albon wasn't last. Not exactly an accomplishment. Anyway, well, you want to go ahead and get started with the sim racing news then?
Sure. I guess, actually, considering this is our first story, leading on from last week, actually.
Yes. Do remember that you can follow us on Twitter at SimcastRadio. Tell us what you're thinking about the show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And myself, Jordan, Matt, and Lewis are all members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective. So, following on the big topic from last week's episode, in which that I'm surprised you didn't get us canceled.
I don't think I was that bad. It may have been a 20-minute unscripted rant, but I mean, they had it coming.
They had it coming.
I was going to do it, but I didn't want to.
That's going to be stuck in my head the entirety of the show.
You're welcome. NASCAR.
NASCAR Heat 5, which is a game that I didn't expect for us to be talking about in 2022.
I mean,
if I'm honest.
No, neither did I. And I think, depending how the next few weeks go, you never know. It could be in the running for most improved game in the Simcast, which we should probably start talking about soon. So this isn't going to be a 20-minute rant, so don't worry, listeners. So you may remember, whilst I was ranting about NASCAR 21 Ignition last week, I mentioned that NASCAR Heat 5 was going to be getting a 2022 content update against all the odds.
Which, can I pause for a second? What does it say about your company? And stop me if you've said this already.
About to say what we said last week, but go on, because I like hearing it anyway.
Because I'm going to reiterate it again, because I think it's worth being said again. What does it say about your company that you're so bad at producing what your company's entire purpose is that you go back and update a game or a product that you didn't even make to begin with? Like, honestly.
I haven't seen a vote of confidence that bad since tuning into BBC Parliament earlier today. mixing American and British pop culture, it's great. But no, so NASCAR Heat 5 is getting a 2022 content update that was originally supposed to be coming out on Friday. So tomorrow at the time that you're hearing this. However, it was confirmed, as usual, just after we recorded the show last week, that the Heat 5 update has been delayed. Now, this was cited the delay to be because they want to bring us the best possible experience this year and have decided to delay the release. And apparently
they get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's better late than never, I suppose.
If it's better late than never, then I mean, I like the fact that they finally understand this fact, but again, they're talking about a game that he didn't even make.
Yeah. I'm quite encouraged, though, because I was originally thinking, and I think I said this last week, that this could be just a DLC whereby we get the 2022 liveries on the older cars. However, it sounds like they are making a next-gen car. How much the physics will change of that, we don't know, but we at least know the sound is going to be different, because that's apparently somewhat of what the delay is about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news in my mind, because they very easily could have tried to satisfy the sponsors of the 2022 season and teams and everything by just putting their logos in a game that already works and not actually changing anything. But
yeah,
they might actually, I will be really impressed if they even change the physics a little bit, because honestly, for a game like NASCAR Heat 5, which is a couple years old and still has decent player base numbers, they don't really need to change much of the physics at all. Like, it's fine enough. Like I was saying last week, I re-downloaded Heat 5 to give it a go after uninstalling Ignition 21, and the whole premise of the game is to be able to pick it up and play it with relative ease, and you can easily do that. And so, you know, the game is good enough that they could have gotten away with just releasing the liveries, but it looks like they're actually going to put in some effort with the car. And that is good, because they are charging for this, as we mentioned last week. They are, as opposed to the 21 Ignition update that's free, the Heat 5 update was set to cost $12.34. However, announced alongside the delay was the announcement that the DLC's price is being reduced to $9.99. Not much, but it counts, I guess.
Yeah. Yes,
I'll never complain at something being cheaper.
but thank you for the whole... Sorry, I just noticed something about that price that I hadn't noticed before, and it slightly irked me. The price is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, which makes me think it was a placeholder.
You know what, might be right.
Until they decided, okay, $10,
But yeah, I guess... yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to get it because I just want to. I'm now curious. Mm-hmm. And I know I shouldn't necessarily, because this money is going to go to Motorsport Games, who I spent 20 minutes of last week's show being very annoyed about.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's a vote of confidence in a game that they didn't make. So
yes. A game that they didn't make that was made by a company that is now owned by iRacing, which killed their first release. And I mean killed as in...
In the good way.
they in the good way. They did extremely well. We're going to be talking about, you know, more dirt things later in the show, even. So
what I would really like to happen is that, so we now know that Monster Games is now owned by iRacing, and Monster Games, obviously, mm-hmm. the former producers of Heat 5, former holders of the NASCAR license.
Yeah.
I don't see Motorsport Games lasting much longer than Liz Truss.
Honestly, so... I'm shocked that there's still a thing.
Yeah, so what I would hope is that the NASCAR license might find its way back to Monster Games, and that iRacing and Monster Games might make a better console NASCAR game.
Yeah, I think I've literally said this on the show before, that it makes perfect sense. iRacing is NASCAR's simulation partner. They already work with the people from Motorsport Games. They are familiar with how, you know, Motorsport Games works. We've seen, just based on this one release, which I know, based on one release, that's not really a good way to judge, but based on this one release, it's obvious that Monster Games has been given a wealth of content and assets from iRacing, and has been able to adapt it to a console very effectively. It just makes sense to put the entirety of the NASCAR game licensing, both the simulation and the more arcadey side, under one roof.
Normally, I'd be like, you know, having brand exclusivity or license exclusivity is a bad thing. But when it's been shown time and time again that this developer isn't very good,
mm-hmm.
and as you say, with all of the things that with NASCAR being so heavily linked with
iRacing,
it just makes so much sense. So I really hope that happens. But it sounds like they're fully committed on the 2023 release of NASCAR Ignition. I don't know. I guess it's the very final chance saloon with them and NASCAR, because they've already said that the 23 release is going to be completely redone. It's not going to carry over anything from 21. So, you know, they've already burnt a lot of their community. I don't see many people rushing out to buy that after being burned by 21 Ignition. If it's good, then it might just bring them back from the brink. However, if it doesn't, it will probably kill them, and then hopefully the license will go back to iRacing. So either way, there's reasons to be hopeful.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for and there's no other way I can think to put this, a rats running from the sinking ship moment.
Just tune into the next developer call, and I guess you'll probably get that. So the sweepstakes are now on to see what lasts longer, Motorsport Games or the British government. So we shall see.
What will happen first? Motorsport Games closing, or Thrustmaster actually releasing the DD?
And we'll get onto Thrustmaster in a little bit later as well. But yes, so far we don't have any idea of when this Heat 5 update is going to be. I would imagine it would probably be within the next couple of weeks. It would be cool if they get it out before the actual season finale of the Real Cup Series, which is in 2-3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, moving right along. F1 22. So, for those who are people who play on the online lobbies of F1 22, be warned. F1 22 will be free to play this weekend, starting today when you're listening to the show live, and going until October 24th, aka next Monday, except for Xbox, which for some reason ends on the 23rd. I'm not sure why. F1 22 will be free to play on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox Series consoles, and the Steam PC version. F1 have also announced that there will be a cool tie-in with Danny Ric, was pretty much like regarded as the most popular F1 driver currently, I believe. Something like that.
Or maybe in America. But...
Maybe in America, yeah.
I must just briefly point out that with this tie-in with Daniel Ricciardo, there's a quote here that says, we couldn't ask for a better coach to show us around the circuit than Daniel Ricciardo. I think Lando Norris might have something to say about that if you look at the championship standings, but I don't want to anger a load of F1 Twitter fans, so we'll move right on from that.
Yes, speaking of F1 Twitter, if you set a quick time at COTA this weekend and share it with the hashtag Ricciardo Challenge and hashtag F122 Game Sweepstakes, you can win a chance to virtually meet and greet with Danny Rick himself. Note, it is virtual. It's not in person. Which, I will admit, the first time I read that story, I completely missed the word virtual.
Well, it would have to be a pretty quick flight to get you out of COTA if you aren't there already, so...
This is true, yeah. Yeah,
but no, I think that in terms of the marketing of this is quite well timed, because obviously we know that F1 is trying to go big in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Timing a free to play weekend around the US Grand Prix, it's well done. Yes.
F1 or SpecTac. I'm sorry, I'm still giggling at the news that Williams had a meetup at a Home Depot, and apparently Red Bull is going to be doing something at a Walmart this weekend or something like that.
Did you get much more American than... don't answer that, because I
was going to say, have you seen Danny Rick's outfit?
I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah, I find it hilarious that whenever they come to the States, that they instantly try to do whatever they can to... like, catch the attention, do whatever they think will catch the attention of the American audience, including, but not limited to, helmet trophies, which just, football helmet trophies, which is, that just seems like an odd idea. And
you
I don't.
I didn't hate that.
But it's Miami. It's
but there's a lot of things I hate about Formula One, but. You know, the Miami Grand Prix was held around an NFL stadium, so they had NFL trophies. It's fine, I suppose. Although that whole weekend was quite hilarious, seeing how much they could make up about the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. We need Lewis here to talk about the Dolphins now, because it's
No, we don't.
No. Okay. something I did forget to mention with this story is that they also produced a video with Danny Rick doing a track guide. Jordan's already shared his opinion about that.
I like Daniel Ricciardo. It's fine.
Yeah.
I guess.
You guess.
Daniel Ricciardo. Why not have a tour of the Circuit of the Americas with a man who's going to be unemployed in a couple of months?
Yes. It'd be hilarious if he ended up coming to IndyCar, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah, apparently that's not happening, though, which is sad.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, though, Latifi's going to be in
IndyCar,
which... Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you can't argue that Nicholas Latifi, in his career, has played a major role in a championship. It's just maybe not the role that he might have hoped for. So maybe he'll do the same in IndyCar. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. At least he can't get lost on the Indy Oval.
Yeah, but there's a lot of more street tracks in IndyCar, so who knows? He might end up back at Belle Isle when they go back to Detroit on the new track.
Hey, are you sure the race is here? No, we're downtown. Oh!
If he doesn't get sponsorship from TomTom or one of the satellite navigation, then that's a missed opportunity.
At the chicane, turn left.
It's a good job they didn't get him to do the USGP track guide in this video, otherwise it would have been, so we're coming up the hill and we turn right up.
Left. Yes, I totally meant left. Oh, dear. Anyway, so if you wanted a chance to play F122 but didn't want to spend the money, you can check it out this weekend, or you can buy pretty much the other F1 games, because they're pretty much the same. Anyway, staying in the F1 world, Matt and I briefly talked about this whenever it was announced, but F1 Arcade is officially opening next month on November 24th. This is the, effectively, it's the experience where you are mixing sim racing and drinking, which is, you know, is always a good idea. where it will feature 60 simulation rigs that are equipped with D-Box haptic feedback. It will be available for solo or team-based use and have a variety of settings and assists to be tweaked to suit skill levels. This is in the Inside One New Change Retail Center, which, not being from the UK, I don't know what that means.
It's a shop with a fancy name. It's basically,
oh, okay.
From reading this, it's right near the St. Paul's Cathedral, which is directly in the middle of London, so it's a good location, I guess.
Is this the UK equivalent of the Mall of America?
No, because like every mall in every town has a really awful name. So,
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, so it's basically just going to be glorified retail space that's, you know, got lights and stuff on it.
Yeah. Anyway, as part of this announcement, and I think I'm pretty sure we speculated on this, R Factor 2 will be the platform that is used for the simulator rigs. So, I hear you asking, Ben, does this mean that we'll get the new F1 car in R Factor 2? Well, no. F1 being F1, the content that will be used for the F1 arcade will be exclusively licensed for the arcade.
I mean, it makes sense because of licensing. Does it though? It does, because F1 have a sim racing thing with Codemasters, so they can't license out one with it. It would be a bit like, imagine this, right? So you're a series that has a game, but instead you go and do something with another game. Like NASCAR. Wait a minute.
You beat me to it.
But this kind of, yeah, it kind of makes sense. You know, we've often seen that some championships have agreements that are in place for public-based software, and then others that are commercial-based. And then, yeah, so this will just fulfill a commercial-based thing. It's sad, because I would like to, after experiencing what a Formula One car can feel like in a more realistic simulator, like we saw with the W12 and the W13, rather. Wait, no. W12, I was right the first
W12,
time.
W12, yeah.
The 13 was the unlucky one. As we've seen with the W12 on iRacing, it feels so much better. And so it would have been nice to see what R Factor could have done with this. But I guess if you want to find out, if you really want to find out, you can go to this bar.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you also tell me before we started recording that you were currently refreshing the website to see, make sure you get tickets?
That was a massive joke, because I hate drinking, places that are loud, and people. Mm. So, I mean, the idea of going here is something that greatly, greatly loses all of my interest.
Mm-hmm. We'll send Matt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's closer anyway. But
yeah,
if I remove my bias of people, it's a really cool idea, actually, having this kind of bar. I've seen a lot of people suggesting a Formula One-themed bar somewhere. And the concept's really cool, and I feel like the integration of... I don't know, I didn't expect the integration of sim racing to go this hard, like 60 rigs set up, and rigs that look genuinely quite good. You know, I'm with you that the idea of marketing it as, you know, you go to this place, you drive, and you have drinks is a bit weird, and it kind of goes against the I know it's only a sim, but it kind of goes against the FIA's action for road safety. It's just on a very weird level, but I know it's not that deep. I must say my main concern is the food that will be served based on locations used in the F1 schedule.
So
what could that possibly mean?
Well, for Miami, that means they'll probably have Cuban sandwiches.
Swamp water.
Mint juleps.
For
Texas, we're talking like quarter pound hamburgers, cheeseburgers, a bucket of fries, beer.
Saudi Arabia is just a cup of sand and human rights violations. What else? I guess London, Canada's poutine.
Oh wait,
London's some stabbing.
What about Silverstone?
What do you get?
A cup of lukewarm Earl Grey tea.
Yeah, that's about it. But that's no different from most eateries in London. I think it's a cool idea, and I think for, going back to the sim racing side, you know, in an ideal world, it would be great if one day we end up being able to use these cars. But I do wonder, given the setting, given that it's going to be within a bar and it's not an esports thing, it's purely for public entertainment and it's not only going to be diehard sim racers that go there. I do wonder at what degree they have gone to actually replicate these physics properly.
Well, we know that they're using R Factor 2. And I think, from what I've seen for the most part, Motorsport Games has been smart enough to really mix with City of 397. I blanked at the name there for a second.
Yeah,
they've been smart enough not to really mess with their program and what they've been doing.
Yeah, but what's the other game that has also been said to have used R Factor 2 based physics?
I mean,
NASCAR 21 Ignition.
The answer is Ignition for those who aren't playing along at home. But I
will be interested because we've already seen that the F1 arcade group is tied up with a load of F1 sim racing influencers. So I'm sure we will hear a totally unbiased opinion of what they feel like to drive. Maybe a couple of weeks after that, when the general public are allowed in, we'll hear some honest feedback. Yeah. I would love to say that me or Matt might go down and try it. I have no appetite to do so, but if I'm ever lost and somehow in London, maybe we'll see how long it lasts. But no, in general, it's a cool concept. And
I agree with that. It is a cool concept when you strip away all of the exclusivity that F1 is going to try to like ramrod down people's throats with this.
And that's also my fear, given that how expensive Formula One is, and then also how expensive nightlife is in London. It's going to be ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, the drinks are probably like $20 plus.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was more. I can't remember how much a pint goes for in London now, but it makes me glad I don't drink.
I love how the two people on the show who notoriously do not drink are the ones talking about this.
It's the first time I think we've ever spoken about a bar on this show as well, and yet we
get this is true. Yeah,
we really scheduled this terribly.
Oh yeah, but I do want to circle back to like talking about how, you know, we do know that NASCAR has the consumer market game and then the simulator game. I'm not sure why F1 is not jumping on that bandwagon. Because, for better or for worse, up until Ignition, it worked extremely. That strategy worked extremely well for NASCAR. I almost called it the peak antifreeze series, which it hasn't been for several years now. The Coca-Cola series is just as popular as it ever was. It's attracting huge names in sim racing, esports. The Heat 5. Version of it, which the name is escaping me at the moment, mainly because it hasn't. I don't think it's the arcade version of the eNASCAR series has existed since Heat 5.
It was the Heat Pro series, wasn't it?
Something like that. But that was also very popular, despite how it kind of ended in a F1 2021 style fog. From what I remember, I could be misremembering that, but given that F1 has really been pushing the boundaries of entertainment value, I will say that F1 is doing better with the whole racing. The racing is still mostly uncorrupted by this entertainment thing that NASCAR is. But it still makes me wonder why F1 isn't jumping for that kind of market, since it's clear we've been working for NASCAR so well.
Yeah, I it wouldn't surprise me if that's something that they look into in the next couple of years, especially with how the reception to the W12 and iRacing went down. You know,
oh yeah,
for a good month or so after that launch, it was all sim racing community was talking about was how good that car is.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't surprise me if they look at that as something to do in the future. And honestly, until about maybe 3 years ago. So three F1 games ago, because stupid annual releases, I don't think there was necessarily an appetite for that, because Codemasters for a long time with the F1 games have managed to balance hardcore and beginner gameplay really, really well. Yep. So it's only in the last few years where sim racing has really had this boom, where people have really had an appetite for a proper simulation experience. On F1 that isn't just a car. So, yeah, I think with sim racing continuing to go and go in terms of popularity and F1 esports, honestly, whilst the racers have been excited in terms of that whole package, it's lagging behind some of its competitors such as eNASCAR and the other ones that you mentioned. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if that's something that they go for, and I hope they do. And maybe this sim experience might be the first rung on that. I don't know. Let's just hope Motorsport Games don't get it.
I mean, well, considering the partnership with the FIA, I doubt that they would go anywhere else.
Yeah, well, let's just hope that by the time they decide to do a fully fledged sim, that Motorsport Games might not be a thing anymore.
Motorsport Games not be a thing anymore by the time this show releases.
The views of Motorsport Games are purely the views of myself and Ben, and do not represent the views of Radio Show Limited.
what Jordan said. Normally, I'm the one that has to get the disclaimer. God dang. All right,
yeah, well, it's a spicy show today, so.
So, dear listeners, if one of our listeners, and I know that there's a good number of you out there, if you happen to go to this experience and want to like come on the show and talk about it, let us know. Hashtag SimcastRSL.
Yeah, and it opens on November 24th. So if you can go to the website, f1arcade.com, and join the waiting list, as I am right now.
I wonder if they purposely made that the same day as American Thanksgiving.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
which means we'll have a show that day.
Oh. Who's down to do it? We'll have to see, because otherwise you and Lewis might have to go on strike again. Anyway.
Yeah. How do we always... Hold on. I'm going to check this now. Doing this live, folks.
Prime content.
No, you guys are up.
All right, cool. We did it well this year. So, yeah, let's move on to something else that's R-Factor related.
Yes.
Segway,
yes. Anyway, R-Factor has two. R-Factor 2 has published their October release candidate a little earlier than what they normally do. According to their, I believe it was their Twitter. It was the official patch notes, excuse me. This release candidate is focusing on fixing and enhancing a few core fundamentals of the R-Factor 2 core base, as well as working hard to enhancing the AI single-player aspect of the software. Somewhere in Miami, Lewis Satterly just said, woohoo! Considering that's basically all he does with that game. And I can understand why. Usually the content drop would happen whenever they release the release candidate. Yeah, I said that correctly. But the Q4 content drop will be announced in the quote-unquote coming weeks, which, as our friends at Race Department pointed out for us, the official announcements included more images of the BTCC cars. So, following the trend, are we going to be getting more BTC see content. What do you think?
It'd be cool. Obviously, there's a couple more tracks that they need to fill in. Obviously, I'm hoping for Snetterton as soon as possible, but that's not anything to do with local bias. The one thing I would say is that they're running a risk a little bit of falling behind a bit too much, because they made the decision to release the 2021 cars earlier this year because they wanted to get something out, which is fair. However, the 2022 championship has just finished last weekend, I think. Yeah. Weeks all blend into one nowadays. So, you know, I don't really want to have to wait until 2023 to get the 2022 content. Now, I guess the only proviso is that the touring car regulations are unlikely to change at all. Certainly not as much as they did between 2021 and 2022, so they could just release the 2023 cars and then also have the 2022 liveries. That would be a reasonable thing for them to do. So, yeah, I would like to see a 2022 car just so we can experience the difference. Maybe release the 2022 version of a car that we already have in the game, like the Ford or something like that, so that we can directly have the comparison between the 2021 regulations and the 2022 ones with the hybrid. And then maybe do a full release of 2023 and the 2022 liveries next year. But to go back to your question, yeah, hopefully we get Snetterton. And there are a couple more cars they haven't got. I know Matt's really wanting the Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. I am too, because it's quite nice. Not as good as the Ford, but he's not here to argue with me.
And I agree with you about the Ford, but moving on.
And yeah, other tracks, they've still got Croft that they need to add. They've still got Thruxton. Thruxton would be really fun, and Croft actually, because neither of them are really in a lot of racing games. So
officially,
not officially anyway. Yeah.
Yep. All hail the power of mods.
Knock Hill as well. I know we've got that in iRacing now, but that's another track that they need to add. This is under the assumption that they are going to add all of the content to our Factor 2 and not keep some of it behind for this theoretical solo game that we may or may not get, depending on the status of the developer that we keep mentioning today.
New drinking game. You have to drink every time we say Motorsport Games.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, literally every story we have mentioned is a Motorsport Games related title. Good grief.
Mercifully, I think our final two topics don't mention them, so we should be okay. Our final should be good. So. Yeah.
But anyway, the full candidate release notes are available on the R Factor 2 website. Highlights that I wanted to include, just because these were the ones that I read through and I thought were interesting. Updated DRS regulations to be restricted in all zones by default and not allowed if there are no DRS zones. Potentially something they're updating for this F1 exclusivity thing.
Well, no, they do have other cars that have DRS in the game, like their Formula Pro thing that's got DRS. Right. So.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, just punched my microphone for some reason.
There's angry. Also... You won't like him when he's angry.
There's also been a bunch of track limit detection and penalization improvements. Again, you can go read all of that. There's a lot of pit lane stuff in there, too. They added a headlight pulse, which defaults to the J key, which means you can now drive around flashing the car in front of you.
Excellent. Always good.
Which, when I read that, I was surprised. And then I remembered, no, R Factor 2 did not have that feature before. So there you go. And that's really all the interesting things I saw. There's not really any good entries for the best patch note contest.
I must say, there's not a best patch note, but there is something that I didn't know. I did really want, and might seem like a really silly thing to have added, but the enabling Alt F4 to close the game. That is a big thing. But also, there's a bit... There's one particular one that's the erratic braking issue for the AI has been a long becried fault of this game. So that's going to make a lot of the community very, very happy. And it already has, judging by the reactions on social media. So two things that might not seem from the outside as big things that are actually quite big things, especially the Alt F4 thing with how often R-Factor 2 crashes.
This is true. And I'm just going to say this once before we move on. Studio 397, you need to take some notes from the iRacing writers whenever they write content update notes, specifically about the AI, because iRacings are so much more entertaining. I digress. Moving on. Moving swiftly away, I think, from Motorsport Games for the rest of the evening. The last show that Lewis and I did together, we did a review of the World of Outlaws dirt racing game. Spoiler alert, it's quite good. They have already announced a new content update that will be coming out for the game, the official date of which is October 28th, even though apparently some Xbox users have been already able to download it, but you'll be able to get this next Friday. What's being added is the Federated Auto Parts Raceway at I-55, a track which was added to iRacing not 3 months ago?
Something like that, earlier this year.
Maybe. Yeah, earlier this year. It might not have been 3 months yet. It's all blending together for me, too. Also being added is the UMP Modified, or the UMP Mod, depending on who you're talking to. For those who aren't familiar, this is a bit, it's a dirt racing vehicle that's made under a particular set of regulations. This one coming from the United Midwestern Promoter Rules. It's kind of a combination of an open wheel car and a stock car, which is the UMP Modifieds are very particular looking. But what most people will be impressed by is that it has a 750 horsepower Chevy V8. And because, you know, it's set of rules, there's a particular version of that, which is, and this is something that I've learned recently, that is a circle track 525 V8. GM apparently makes a crate engine specifically for circle track racing, which I find interesting, being an engine nerd. Jordan, are you still with me? Or if
somewhere.
I put you to sleep. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just having a nap. We're all good.
Yeah. Both of these pieces of content, the new track and the new car, are already on the iRacing service. So I believe, and, you know, Monster Games, feel free to correct me by not doing this. We're slowly going to get every piece of dirt content that is related to World of Outlaws into that's on iRacing currently into this game. And maybe we'll even get to a place, speculating here, maybe we'll even get to a place where there will be content released on iRacing and the World of Outlaws game at the same time. Do I think that actually will happen? No. Is it fun to speculate about? Yes.
I can see that happening, and it would make sense. You know, they released this game on only consoles because they want people on PC to play iRacing. So,
I mean, which is a fair thing.
It would be cool to see that, but also, you know, we've seen when game developers have the same game that is released on all three that sometimes, a lot of the time, PC gets it first. Like, look at ACC. I know the console versions of that game released a lot after the PC version, but we're still multiple iterations of the game behind on the console. And then, obviously, you've got the way that different game distributors and developers work on different platforms. You know, I know that Microsoft is a lot more stringent on updates and how long it takes to quality control them and stuff like that. So there'll always be difficulties with simultaneous releases, but it could happen. It'd be cool.
It'd be cool, yeah. Even if it's like delayed by a month or a week or something along those lines.
Mm.
But I'm still definitely impressed that they were able to execute this game as effectively as they have, given what we've seen, what their former dirt content was like. which it was pretty much the same set of physics, just slightly slidier. It is now pretty much feels extremely good on the controller, and I was hoping Lewis would be here so we could talk about Wheel, like playing with it on a wheel. But if you've experienced what this game is like on a wheel and have been able to give like a good comparison between this and what it feels like on iRacing, please let us know. Hashtag SimcastRSL. Anyway, I think that's all we need to talk about that. So, next Friday, not tomorrow, if you're listening to this live, next Friday, be sure to pick that up. Moving on, so we're going to steer away from games for a second.
Excellent.
Steer away.
Yes. Good job.
Yes, thank you. And we're going to talk about Thrustmaster.
Yes.
For once, we are not talking about a tease.
No.
For once.
They actually released a thing the same day they announced it.
Yes.
Which is a shock. And considering this was announced and released exactly 1 month before the at least announcement slash reveal of the DD wheel. Who knows? Maybe that would be available. It's not going to be available on the same
No,
day.
It's not.
But back to this. Yeah, Thrustmaster have launched a $200 force feedback racing wheel, the T128. And I think this is just TLDR straight away. Obviously targeting the entry level, obviously targeting Logitech's G920 era kind of price
pretty
range.
Pretty much the segment that Logitech owns outright.
Yeah, so it's good to get some more competition there. The wheel itself is a hybrid drive force feedback system, so it uses a combination of gears and belts. It's not a bad system. Obviously, it's not as good as DD's. They never will be. But as someone who used a gear wheel for years and years prior to getting the TSPC Racer, it's perfectly good. I would be more than happy to recommend gear-driven wheels to anybody who are starting out in sim racing. So the opportunity to start out with a brand that isn't Logitech might be appealing to some.
Yeah, and it's not like this wheel is cheaped out on the technology. It does have LED shift lights on it, which, you know, looking at my wheel and thinking, why don't you have that? I'm really appreciating that Thrustmaster is going that route. You have full rotation between 2070 degrees and 900 degrees, which will pretty much service every game, barring... I can't really think of a game that goes above 900, honestly.
I mean, you can set iRacing to go above that, but you never really need that much lock. I think the only game that I could think of, and I might be wrong, is maybe the truck racing game, the truck simulators, you know, for the really, really big lock to park and stuff like that. I guess that could be it, but who knows?
Yeah.
But no, I get it's a cool setup. The only thing I don't, obviously, being at this price point, the materials used are a little bit cheaper. It's predominantly plastic. Yeah,
it's
but
very
it doesn't look bad.
No, it doesn't.
It's probably not going to feel as great. I think the area where the most price skimping has come is in the pedals.
Yes. This wheel only comes with it is still a magnetic pedal set, but you only get two pedals. Which, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on what you want to do.
It honestly, to me, all I can see is really cheap flight simulator pedals. They look more
given
like that for some reason.
Given that it's Thrustmaster, they might have started life as flight sim pedals.
I'll be interested to see how these feel, because they obviously look very, very simple. And the lack of a clutch. I don't know. I guess given that it's an entry-level wheel, the amount of people that are likely to want a clutch who are going to be buying this wheel is probably quite slim. If you're wanting a clutch for sim racing, you're probably already going to be looking higher up the list for your wheel anyway. So I guess this makes sense for the market they're going for.
There's also the alternative to that. That is that, you know, the Thrustmaster T3PAs They've been producing those for years. You can probably find a set of those on eBay or any other online retail reseller of choice for pretty cheap.
That's true. That's true.
Because if you've bought those at some point, if you're going to get really serious at the sim racing, you're probably looking at different pedals. Mm. Like, for instance, I ended up shipping my pedal, my T3P Ace, to to one of our teammates whenever he needed to put out sets, because I just had them lying around collecting dust and I didn't need them anymore.
Yeah, so there's probably going to be a bunch of them like that. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. But no, I think, yeah, this is cool to see. I'll be interested to hear the feedback. But for the price is really, really good. You know, for it to only be $200, that's a really competitive price for that area of the market. And yeah, of course, there are the usual versions, the one that's compatible with PC and Xbox and the one that's compatible with PlayStation and PC. Although the PlayStation compatible version's a little bit late. It's next week, I think, that will be shipping.
Yeah, so it would start shipping during our next show on the 27th.
Yeah, so a little bit of a longer wait, but you know, it's not that much. It's not like waiting for the DD from Frostmaster. So
yeah, gosh. Yeah, I.
But we're now under a month away from the reveal, so.
Yeah, we are under a month from the reveal, and
which means we could be under a year away from actually driving with it.
And it means that I'll probably be shaving my beard before the end of the year.
Was the deal that it had to release or be revealed?
Release.
I don't know. I think you're going to keep your beard. I think you're keeping your beard.
Okay.
The sweepstakes are on. The beard stakes.
The PC. Hashtag keep Ben's beard. Anyway, so if you're looking for a good entry point into the sim racing wheel market, this might be your new choice. I appreciate the fact that Thrustmaster is going after Logitech's market. I was just kind of hoping it would be the direct drive market. Anyway,
Well, you know, I think that's going to be the interesting thing about the DD release, is that now we have the Logitech DD to compare it to directly in terms of price and newt meter output and all of that. Yep. It's going to be really interesting to see where they place themselves. So tune in about a month's time to find out, yep, hopefully.
And Thrustmaster, if you'd like to send one of us.
Me. They're French, like, I'm closer.
They've been identified as an American French manufacturer.
Stuff.
By the way, I'm sorry. Side note: why did they announce us at the Paris Motor Show?
Because they're French.
Moving on. I can't come up with a response to that. Moving on. Gran Turismo 7. Going swiftly in a different direction. Gran Turismo 7 has announced their update 1.25 confirmed for today. If you're listening to this live, October 20th, if you're listening to this in the future. Which everyone's listening to this to the future anyway, for us. But anyway. Of course, this being an update, we got four new cars for everyone. We have the 1973 Nissan Skyline GTR. Not particularly my favorite version of that generation of GTR, but hey, it's still a GTR. The 1980 Maserati Merak SS, the Monster Roadster NR-A, which is basically the cup car, but they can't call it the cup car for reasons. And lastly, the 2018 Nissan GTR Nismo GT3, which that car is really past due.
I'm shocked that isn't in the game already.
I really am as well, considering that what version is in the game? The 2015, something like that.
You own it, I don't.
Oh, yeah, well. Ask me when I played it the last time.
That's still more than me.
No, seriously, ask me.
When
I don't remember.
When did you play it? Oh, well, that's a great. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, alongside with those, we do know there are two new scapes coming for you photo bugs out there. One called Autumn Leaves and one set around Whitby in North Yorkshire, UK. Where's that in relation to you?
North.
Very north?
No, it's not Scotland north, but like okay. Like a little bit south of Scotland. Okay. Yorkshire's a beautiful place. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. Just, I'm assuming it won't be raining. Or, you know, maybe in the distance you'll be able to see some fracking or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I think the Autumn Leaves one, again, this is great radio. The Autumn Leaves one looks, I think I've driven on that road, honestly.
Oh, of course the Whitby one has a fish and chip restaurant right behind it, right? Because nothing says Yorkshire like fish and chips. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, apart from the new cars and the new escapes, we don't really know what else is going to be in the update that came out today. So we'll probably talk about more about that in the future.
Perfect.
Yes. Anyway, do you want to move on to esports roundup of the week, or should we do this last little story?
Well, we can run through this last little story very quickly because there's not much to it. WRC Generations is still coming out next month. All iterations of it on the same day now as well. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But last weekend they announced all of the rallies that are going to be available. Now, Generations being the swan song for the games developed by this developer, it's sort of an amalgamation of all the various content they have licenses for. So whilst they have various rallies from the 2022 World Rally Championship. So you've got Monte Carlo, Sweden, Croatia, Portugal, Sardinia, Kenya, Estonia, Finland, Ypres Rally Belgium, the Acropolis Rally of the Gods, New Zealand, Spain, and Japan. They also have some bonus rallies, and there's one in here which I really like. So you get Rally Argentina, Rally Chile, Rally Deutschland, Rally Mexico, Rally San Remo, which I believe is a very famous historical one, which is good, as is the Tour de Corse. Again, my rallying isn't great. Matt should be here. And then the final two are Rally Turkey and the best one, I'm not biased, it's the Wales Rally GB.
So that's not biased great. At all, huh?
No, not at all. And yeah, so that's going to bring it to 165 stages. Wow. Across 21 locations. That's a lot of rally.
Yes.
Think of how many trees you're going to be able to throw yourself at. Yeah, that's pretty much
it.
Yeah,
how many banks that you're going to be able to barrel roll your car off of.
Pretty much, yeah. Think of how many sheep you're going to be able to murder. Anyway, so yeah.
All the shocked expressions from spectators as you come within 6 inches of their foot.
I'm not touching that. So yeah, that's... WRC.
That's the point. You're not hitting the spectators. That's the
track.
Point.
I. Never mind. Yeah. So that game comes out. I'm really, really distracted now. On November. Something. Pause for effect. Whilst you introduce esports roundup.
Okay. It is time for the last 3-4 minutes. Well, no, 2 minutes of the tonight show now, for the esports roundup of the week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. And I'm going to be honest, I was waiting to be interrupted, and when I wasn't, my brain went,
Brilliant. No, so, yes, esports roundup. Incidentally, November 3rd for WRC Generations. F1 Esports Pro Series. The second trio of F1 Esports Pro Series races took place on Wednesday, from Wednesday to Friday last week, with two of the three events being won by first-time winners. Yay! The first race of the week took place at the Red Bull Ring in Austria, with mixed weather conditions providing an exciting curveball to the affair. Red Bull Racing's Freddie Rasmussen would claim pole position by about 6 thousandths of a second. F1 Esports is close. However, the wet conditions caught out the pole sitter on lap one, with Rasmussen running wide into turn three and thus allowing Thomas Ronha to slip by to take the lead for Haas. Ron Haar and Rasmussen would battle numerous times throughout the remainder of the race, but ultimately it would be Ron Haar who would just about come out on top, managing to hold off a late assault from Rasmussen to win the race. His first in F1 Esports Pro Series, and only his fourth race. So the rookie's having a really good run at the moment. Rasmussen would trail by just 0.3 seconds at the end to finish in second, with AlphaTauri's Josh Idowu completing the podium. Second race would be at Spa. Rasmussen was on pole once again and would lead the opening stages of the race before McLaren sort of tag-teamed him. In the end, it would be Barry Burrowmond who would take his first victory in F1 Esports, with Lucas Blakely fading toward the late stages, allowing Freddie Rasmussen to once again settle for second, with Josh Idowu finishing on the podium again for AlphaTauri, with Blakely finishing fourth, I believe, after having led early on. The final race of the week took place at Zandvoort. It was once again quite wet. Thomas Ronhaar took pole position for Haas, but championship leader Lucas Blakely had the start of the century and took the lead at turn one and would be unstoppable for the remainder. He went on to dominate the race and take victory by 8 seconds, which is a virtual country mile in F1 Esports. Mm-hmm. His teammate and Spa winner Barry Borman would take second to make it a McLaren 1-2, with Freddie Rasmussen once again finishing on the podium in third place. As a result of the trio of races, Blakely continues to lead the driver's standings, but Rasmussen is close to within 15 points heading into the penultimate trio of races. Meanwhile, in the constructor standings, McLaren lead the way on 180 points compared to Red Bull's 116. The next three races will take place from November 2nd to November 4th at Monza, Mexico City's Hermanos Rodriguez circuit, and COTA.
Yes, moving on to the IMSA Esports. The opening round as the IMSA Esports Michelin Global Championship took place at Road America this past Sunday.
Atlanta.
I do that every time.
Too many roads.
There's too many roads in America. Took place at Road Atlanta this past Sunday. Thank you for catching that, Jordan. Apex Racing Team with Alejandro Sanchez and Kevin Ellis Jr. would take the spoils in the GT3 class, winning by just under 30 seconds ahead of the Mercedes-AMG Urano entry of Luca Kitta and Alexei Nozov. Okay. Who had started on pole position but lost control of the race during the first time through the lower TCR traffic. From there, Sanchez would sprint away into the lead that the Apex Racing would continue to grow throughout the 2 hour and 40 minute race. Completing the podium for the GT3 class would be Williams Esports Mercedes, driven by Daniel
La Fuente,
yeah, and Carl Jansson. In the touring car class, Sim R Hyundai Elantra. The Sim RC Hyundai. I missed a letter there. Hyundai Elantra was looking good for a comfortable victory until the final hour. An incident with the second Apex Racing Porsche GT3. Saw the Elantra sustain big damage. Their previous strong lead shrank down and down as the race came to a close, but mercifully the driver pairing of Keegan Harrison and Corentin Guiez, I believe. Okay. Were able to hold off to win by just over 4 seconds, with the RGA Esports Honda of Florian
LeBridge
and Valentin Mandanak?
Mandanak,
okay. Just running out of time to catch him. They would settle for second place with the number 199 Apex Racing Team Elantra of Gail Velo and Nicole Pogge? Yeah. Completing the podium. The IMSA Michelin... The IMSA Esports Michelin Global Championship. Man, that's a mouthful. We'll continue this Sunday of round two at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. I got through that eventually. Anyway, as we are a little bit over, it is time to end tonight's show. Any final thoughts of wisdom, Jordan?
No. I think we're good. No one has mentioned any foodstuffs, so I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Matt and Jordan will be back next week. Everyone have a good week. Stay safe out there and eat more tacos. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.